They had nothing more to say, and then we left. They had just looked around the house, so to speak, and made it clear to the others that they were taking me away. I thanked them for that, and I was happy. But I had no idea that I would not like the new place either, that there would be something there that I would find fault with. On the way to the new house they said to me, "You see, when you go to the afterlife, you just have to adapt to the new circumstances. You have to learn to live with others, you have to learn to understand other people's habits, you have to share with them, you have to share joys with one another, pray together, you have to be able to laugh with one another. And so this is also a way to liberation, to become free inside." Then they told me that I had been so one-sided, even fanatical, in life, and that's why I couldn't bring myself to share joy with others. The others in this house could enjoy little things, and everyone had to make an effort to understand one another. And those I had seen so happily together would soon be taken away, they would soon enter a more beautiful and higher sphere. I would also have been given the opportunity to rise much faster if I had got along with the others. But I couldn't really absorb this explanation either. I couldn't understand what was meant by the idea that I would have advanced more quickly if I had simply laughed and prayed with the others. At the time I had no idea that it was about healing the soul, about a so-called recovery of the soul, about distracting myself from one-sided attitudes and thoughts. I would have had to talk to the others in this way, and the others would have led me up, they would have pulled me along. Since I had a strong faith during my lifetime, they would have wanted to reward me for it, even if my faith had been one-sided. But my one-sided attitude and my fanaticism could only have been resolved by sharing the many views and opinions of the others and going with them. But now I had spoiled this short path, now I had to take a longer path to advance. I would have had peace now. And so it was. We then came to a house that was on the same modest scale as the previous one. Here too, we were greeted when we entered, especially by these two high beings. They only took note of me. My two companions then informed those who greeted us that I wanted to be left alone and that I would then be led on accordingly. The brothers and sisters promised these two that I could be left alone. They said that they would only leave me alone for a certain time, but after that things would have to move forward, because one cannot indulge in idleness in the world beyond. One must work here well. These two angels said goodbye and I was grateful to them for having found them. At first I seemed to like it better here. I had my peace and quiet and I could finally rest and get some sleep. I just felt very tired. When this was over, I would have other thoughts and would adapt to the others, I thought. Well, I was able to sleep and then woke up again on my own. I didn't know how long I had slept. For I didn't know, because there were no clocks, you couldn't look at a clock and see how long you had been resting. But I did feel a little fresher and thought for a moment, this new world has its advantages. Wrapped up in human clothing, your body torments you here and there. You have to work to have bread, to eat and to be able to live, to clothe yourself. All of that requires effort. You don't really have any of that in this world. I didn't feel hungry and the clothes I was wearing were enough for me. I didn't have to worry about shelter either, that was assigned to me. So life here was much more worth living in that respect. You didn't have to work like you had to work as a human being, but otherwise completely different conditions. A completely different life seemed to play a significant role here, something completely different was important than these externals that had been significant and important in human life. Well, as I was thinking about myself and about the fact that I had the feeling that it was actually better and more beautiful here than in human life, a brother came to me. He said he had the task of taking care of me. I said I agreed, because I was trying to get promoted. "Good," he replied. "But you have to start working now. And this work is not so easy. It is precisely prescribed for you and you always have to do exactly the work that is given." My first job was in the spiritual realm. So I was led to a nearby valley. There I really had to work in a garden. They told me exactly what I had to do, and it seemed a bit much to do this work. Because they kept coming back and saying that I was not putting in enough effort and that I had to try harder. I had to help recreate this garden or these facilities. I didn't really know much about how to do it, but I was shown how to do it all the time. Stones had to be carried around and freshly laid. Trees had to be planted, and I had the feeling that the most beautiful gardens were being created here. But I felt that this work was a bit too much for me. I would rather pray. I didn't want to do this work. When they scolded me for not working enough, I tried to make it clear to them that I did say my prayers in between and that I was always distracted, that I wanted to get closer to God through prayer. They didn't want to hear that and said, "Of course, we pray too. But here you have to work. You still find enough time to worship the Lord and to praise Him." And so they wanted to make it clear to me that I should be much more diligent, and they were not happy with me. But I had the feeling that they were being unfair and demanding too much. So a higher being came to me, scolded me and said that a lot of things still needed to be put in order. The work they were asking me to do was not excessive, it was just normal work. But I had never worked in the right way on earth, and that is why the work here was so difficult for me. You cannot earn heaven with prayer alone, not even in the world beyond, just as you cannot earn it as a human being with prayer alone and without the right deeds. Here in heaven, too, action is part of prayer, that way I would have the opportunity to move up. And again they made it clear to me how one-sided my attitude was and that I still wanted to get my way. I should now try to break my personal will. I promised to be more diligent. But it cost me a lot of effort to do this amount of work, and I simply had the feeling that they were being unfair to me. It hurt me that I was treated like that. They never gave me a kind word, so to speak. They were so strict and never gave me a smile or anything like that. It was a hard time for me to work like that, and I lacked love from those around me. But they thought it was all fine and said it was good for my soul. I should first try to adapt. But I couldn't adapt. I never achieved what they wanted me to do. And so they were not at all happy with me. I was unhappy and dissatisfied with myself because I really couldn't do what I was told. I always felt that I should tell them how things should be done. But it didn't get that far. They saw my thoughts. Then they came to me again and said that they would now try a different approach with me, that they were not at all satisfied with me. I could not obey and was not capable of doing what I was told to do, but I would always want to assert my own will. That was the result of my one-sided life and the views I had. But they would take care of me and would like to lead me higher, and if I did not have faith in God, they would lead me into another sphere and treat me even more harshly, and what was happening here had nothing to do with harshness. Even if I did not receive the love I was expecting, everything would still be okay. I had to prove myself worthy of love first, I had to put my soul in order first. Then they said, "Now it would be best if we took you back to people. You still have so much human thinking, so many human feelings in you. Let's try to get you to people." They then gave me a companion, and he took me to this person and then to that person. This companion was very considerate towards me, and I really had the feeling that I was finding some understanding from him, some love from him. He once went with me to see a person who was doing everything wrong, who, as they say in heaven, was burdening himself. He explained everything to me very carefully, in every detail. "If this person does not change, he will have a hard fate when he comes to us. Because with us he must be completely free in his soul, he must be ready to follow the words of our exalted brothers and sisters. And you see, you come to the afterlife with your whole personality, you bring with you all the feelings you expressed as a human being, your whole personality is unchanged, just as it was in human life, and then in the afterlife you must try to make up for what you did wrong. And you can see now what this person is doing wrong." Then he took me to a man who prayed a lot, as I had done. He prayed a lot, but he did not give alms, he had no love for his fellow human beings, he just went his own way. He prayed and did only what was beneficial to him, he had no feeling for others. Then my companion explained to me, "Look at his soul. Here you can see, he does nothing for his other life, for the world beyond. He does not earn any merit. His prayers do not help him, they do not penetrate him. And so one day he will be like you. He must first learn to live with others, he must first understand how to deal with one's neighbor, how to deal with one's brothers and sisters in the world beyond. If you cannot do that in human life, you cannot do it in the world beyond either, and that is a pity. He began to draw my attention to how people weave their spiritual garments through their lives and actions. I could see this in another person. He didn't actually pray that much, but he had a heart full of goodness. He had a lot of time for the poor and for his fellow human beings in general. He always had a kind word for everyone. He never said a bad word to anyone, he showed everyone his kindness of heart. Then my companion said, "Look at the shine of his inner garment, and look at the earthly body, how it looks in old age. It is no shame to leave this body behind, it belongs to the earth from which it was built. But it is about the spiritual garment and the spiritual body. In spiritual life, if you have had a good heart in human life, your hands will be delicate, and your figure will be so beautiful and even. And all of this, everything grows out of the soul, is formed out of the soul. The soul gives growth, and whoever has goodness of heart in human life will have a fine figure and a splendid appearance. But look at those others who have no goodness of heart, their soul does not shine, their spiritual body is not beautiful, their hands are misshapen, their entire spiritual figure misshapen, and so in the world beyond they must first be concerned, like you, with this growth, with this becoming even." And he drew my attention to my hands, to my feet, to my entire figure and said, "Your figure is not beautiful at all. Have you not noticed how misshapen, how inharmonious your figure is?" "Yes," I looked at myself, but my appearance did not bother me. But the angel said, "In this appearance, you cannot reach the heights. You must see what a beautiful figure the leading spirits of heaven have. That is harmony, and without this harmony inside and out you cannot rise to any height." Then he pointed out to me, "Try to do everything now to achieve this harmony. So you have to work on yourself. The best way to see it is to look at yourself. When you realize that in your appearance, then you have worked well and people have become more satisfied with you. But if your clothing is still so gloomy and so one-sided, then you have not yet achieved anything. With your efforts and your work you will become more noble and more beautiful, but it takes time." He also drew my attention to my misshapen feet and my clothing. In such clothing I could never reach great heights, everything had to be balanced. "Yes," now it became clear to me and I said, "Good, you are now the only and first loving being who really takes care of me, and I will do everything you say. Now I understand that I have done many things wrong, but people have not taken care of me." Then this companion explained to me, "You just didn't deserve it yet. You were given the opportunity. Your path would have been shortened if you had come to the realization straight away. In the meantime, however, much time has passed and you have taken a detour. But through God's goodness I have been brought to you." And then this angelic being made aware of the fact that I must now try to live for a certain time with people who were capable of doing only good. I must, so to speak, become one with them, must agree with them in my thoughts and have nothing to criticize about them. I must thus fulfill the works with them out of a certain inner desire to do good. I should try to become one with them and carry out the works with them. And he showed me how to do that. So we lived for a long time with people who lived in peace and harmony, and we accompanied them step by step. Yes, we enveloped them, we went into them, because their earthly body was no obstacle for us. We tried to guide theirs with our hands. We enjoyed their thoughts, their works that they carried out, and then tried to develop their thoughts even further. And so I understood what it meant to become part of them, to work with them and thus become one with them. The angel was a faithful, good guide to me, he showed me the way. And so I also achieved success with people. But he drew my attention and said, "Do you also see those people who are surrounded by dark brothers and sisters who are still so far away from us? Do you see how they become part of people and lead them?" And as I looked, I truly saw it. It was these dark ones who led people and accompanied them into their injustice, into their burden, supported them in their false lives, in their injustice, in their lies. Yes, now I saw clearly how it was happening. And my guide said to me, you should avoid those people. Now you should only choose those who are prepared to do good, and then try to work with all your strength and to lift and support these people even further. Then this person will have his gains and you will have yours. I did it, and when I stood next to such a person again, I was so happy. And I looked at this person and did not see his earthly body, but I saw him in his spiritual garment, I saw his spiritual body, as it will one day stand in the new world. So I began to rejoice. And both of us, my spiritual guide and I, were happy about what we had achieved. And I could now truly observe that a change was also taking place in me, externally, in my spiritual form, and internally. The spiritual leader said, now you have grown from within, your soul has become noble and has developed outwardly in your spiritual body. Now that you have become different, more harmonious in your thinking, your figure has also become more harmonious. And he said, now we dare it, we will go back and present ourselves to our higher brothers and ask them to take care of you. Then he made the remark that I would then be taken to schools, would be taught, and I would also have much greater tasks to fulfill. And so it happened, I was led back, and before me again stood those who had greeted me at my retreat. How long ago could it have been? I did not know, there was no more time for me, but I was happy and did not ask how long ago it had been. Now I had to say goodbye to my spiritual companion for the time being, and the high brothers said, come, let's go back to the house where you lived first. We want to see whether you can now manage to pray, sing and laugh with them. I thought it would not be difficult for me, and I went in with a cheerful spirit and a cheerful step. I had the feeling that everyone had to see their renewal that had taken place in me, and I could only be happy. So they assigned me a room again, which was to be mine. But I had no need for this room to be mine. I invited them all to come to me to pray together, to sing together, to talk together. And so I experienced this joy, this transformation. I no longer had the feeling of oppression or the desire to go my own way. I could be happy with the others. At first I had not been able to do it. I had had to learn it, just as many have to learn to adapt to the new world. You have to live together with the others here. You should not think that you can live in isolation like this, maybe yes, for a short time, but you have to prove yourself in living together with the others. And as long as one is not able to live in peace with others, one is not able to rise. Because one must always live with others. In the divine world one must get along with others and work together with them for higher goals. People on earth must learn to understand one another, they must live together. That is how it is on both sides. And what one has not learned on earth, one must learn on the other side, and this will be quite difficult, as it was for me. Well, dear brothers and sisters, I have tried to give some explanations from my early days. Today I have gained further knowledge. I have been taught the plan of salvation and order, just as every being is taught when it enters the order, and if one wants to be a good member of this divine family, one must know about the divine laws. But first the most essential thing must be learned. Before you start this training, you must achieve that you can live in peace with others. Because in the spiritual world it is also about understanding one another, not putting yourself above others. That is a great law, a law of charity that you know. You must learn to understand others. You must learn to love them. If you can do that, then you have paved your way to ascension in the most beautiful way. I would like to wish that for all of you. And so I withdraw and speak the Lord's blessing over you. Greetings from God. Joseph, dear brothers and sisters, do you have any questions? I will try to answer them as best as I can. Dear Spirit Joseph, I would be interested to know how Sebastian has progressed, what task he is fulfilling and what his relationship is to the Linus household. Can you tell us? Joseph, it has been explained to you many times that these examples that are given to you are chosen from the most diverse spheres and that the selected beings are connected to the house of Linus, since they have entered into the order and thus also have a connection to our house. It has also been told to you that in the spiritual world there is not only the house of Linus, but there are many such spiritual leaders like Linus who lead their communities or certain groups of people. They are connected with each other, in contact, so that this, the selection of such an ascending spiritual being, takes place in perfect order. Now when a spirit is assigned to his work in the world beyond, so many paths are open to him, and everyone is sent to where he can use his greatest ability, provided that he has once reached a certain level of development and has dutifully worked for the plan of salvation and order. For the vast majority of people, this is the main condition for their ascension. Once a certain climax or level has been reached, the individual being is tested for its special abilities. Just as you have jobs and have your abilities in these jobs, these spirit beings are tested for their abilities and are used here and there. In this way they also do their valuable work, on the one hand to shape the heavenly world, and on the other hand to bring their other brothers and sisters back up. Dear Joseph, I would like to ask you, we humans have our houses to protect us from the elements. Now, we see again and again in the stories that this domesticity plays a major role in the afterlife, even though there is actually no such need for protection as there is for us. What is this actually due to? Is the reason only security, or are there other reasons? Joseph, it is also about security, about togetherness. These certain groups are brought together so that they stay together. There is a connection, so to speak, and they have to hold on. You also need the feeling of security. You must also remember, depending on the level at which you live, this house can be very beautiful, so that you really enjoy living in it. Outside the house it can also be as beautiful as yours. The residents can also have very valuable objects that they have acquired themselves, and these are not in a meadow or flower garden somewhere, but are in the house. These beings are therefore also offered certain advantages if they can live in such a house. We would also be interested in how we can imagine the lighting in this sphere. Our world is so beautiful when the sun shines and when it is beautifully green. Joseph, yes, you must note that the lower spheres are places of one-sidedness. I cannot compare it to a wasteland, such a place would be where there are very burdened spirits. But when spirits are on the ascent and in the lower levels, they do not have to be bad spirits, then the environment is simply monotonous, one-sided, there is no splendor of color. Because in the divine world, the variety of colors plays a major role. In the lower spheres, these colors simply do not exist. This is due to the law. A burdened spirit does not have the ability to produce these colors. Every spirit also contributes its own part to the beauty, to the diversity of the entire environment. The higher a being is in its ascent, the more beautiful its sphere is, it becomes more and more colorful and clear from level to level. The light also involuntarily takes on a completely different radiation and illuminates the entire environment in its great splendor of color. And so the light has a completely different effect than if it shines into a plane where everything is one-sided, where this splendor of color does not exist. Does the light source also come from above like it does with us and stream in from above over the sphere? Joseph, yes, you could say from above, it comes from all sides. Is it usual for a soul that was one-sided and fanatical in its earthly life to perceive the happy gathering of others as noisy? Joseph, that was the case with this brother. He could not share the happiness of the others, he was simply one-sided, he was not satisfied with the behavior of the others. It is the same with you people. A dissatisfied and one-sided person is not at all interested in what the others do, because he will complain about everything, he simply does not like it, whether it is, let's say, excessive noise or whether it is harmonious, whether it is right or wrong. He will complain about everything. That is his fanaticism. His one-sided attitude. That is why this brother had to go down this path, he had to recognize this at some point. Dear Joseph, does awakening in the afterlife follow immediately after death? So could Sebastian see and perceive immediately? Joseph, yes, of course, he sees the beings that are there. Even if the separation from the human body has not yet been fully completed, he can still see these beings. That is the point that he has already reached. You call it clairvoyance. Even if the separation has not yet fully taken place, the spirit is already so far detached from its earthly body that it sees everything that is going on. How long does it take until a soul that returns to the afterlife is included in God's order? Joseph, yes, there is no rule. You can't say that. Because it all depends on personal development and the life that one has had. A person with a Christian faith, with good will, can be included in God's order immediately after returning home. Well, dear brothers and sisters, I am withdrawing again. May God's blessing be upon you all. Greetings. Report of the ascending spirit being Sebastian and answers to questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Court in Caldenstress, Zurich. Original, telephone tape recording. Next case. July 3, 1963, Matthews, the blacksmith. Serving your neighbor is the best way to help yourself. Control spirit, greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, a being by the name of Matthews is speaking to you, and we want to assume that through this story, through these explanations, you will be given another insight into the laws of God. Greetings. Matthews, greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Matthews. I had a profession, I was a blacksmith. I was of a rough nature and of course did not live to God's satisfaction. I loved wine and also had a rough language. Well, I don't need to tell you any more about it. What could a blacksmith have done in his life? You can imagine, it is a hard trade, and accordingly to the handling, and also the way of expressing ourselves. I believed in God. I was a believer, but I didn't think about what would happen after death. I didn't care about that at all, because I was just concerned with life. What would happen afterwards didn't matter to me at the time. When I died, my parents greeted me. Father and mother were there, and father said, "You are now coming to the same place where I was, and you will have to figure out for yourself how to get out of there." So you see, we live on, and we are all subject to God. We realize too late that we should have done more in our human lives. Now we have to adapt to this new world accordingly. We will not receive the same reward as those others who lived in a way that was pious and pious. So you will have to give up a lot, just like me. I knew what my father meant by that. It was clear to me what I had to let go of. Of course, I didn't really feel comfortable with it, because I felt quite guilty. I thought, so life goes on, and here I am with all my burden. Because I had relived everything that had happened in my life and which I already knew was wrong during my lifetime, but back then I hadn't had the strength to overcome it, nor had I made any effort to let go of anything. Well, then higher beings led me to the place where my father had been, that is, to a sphere where there were equally burdened siblings. There were brothers and sisters there. I was also given a house to live in, but it was actually left up to me whether I wanted to live in this house or whether I wanted to live somewhere outside. I had the feeling that it was a big city here and there was a lot of hustle and bustle. At first I had no idea where all these beings were going, nor what they were doing. So I first had a look around. I also went into the house that had actually been assigned to me and about which I had been told, "This is your house. You can live in it, you can rest in it if you feel the need." But this house did not seem particularly beautiful to me. There were very, very many beings in it, so it was very populated, and where I could have lived or had peace or rest there was a mystery to me. So I did not stay in the house, but made do with the outdoors, living now here, now there, because I did not have the feeling of hunger or cold. I liked living so freely much better, and I had the feeling that others did it too. Now I noticed that some of them were busy doing something. It was as if they were in a hurry to go somewhere. Others took it easy, sat around, and I had the impression that they were not particularly content and happy. You could hear moaning and groaning, some complaining about the ailments they were suffering from. For my part, I did not feel as if anything was hurting me, But it was quite clear to me, I had left my earthly body behind and now I was simply living on in my spiritual body. I was dressed too, I had my clothes on, but I did not particularly like them.